Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
On this edition of Orlando Magic Pod Squad, we catch up with new Orlando Magic head coach Jamal Mosley. Coach Mosley is the 15th head coach in Orlando Magic history, and we have the opportunity to get to know Coach Mose. Here on this edition, Dante Marcatelli, Jeff Turner, and George Galante, going back to his days in Milwaukee, his high school basketball days in California, then ultimately his four-year career at Colorado as a member of the Buffaloes. His journey took him overseas, and then ultimately starting his NBA journey with the Denver Nuggets in a player development role, then moving on to the Cleveland Cavaliers, spending the last 7 years with the Dallas Mavericks, and then ultimately becoming the newest head coach for the Orlando Magic. We get into his philosophy, what he likes to do offensively, defensively, and we get a scouting report on this Orlando Magic roster, what he likes about the players on this Magic team from afar before he gets to know them and work with them for many years to come. That's all coming your way on the latest edition of Magic Pod Squad with Coach Mosley. And welcome, everyone, to another edition of Orlando Magic Pod Squad. Dante Marcatelli, Jeff Turner, George Galante here with you. We're missing the Hall of Famer, David Steele, but it is our pleasure to welcome in the 15th head coach in Orlando Magic history. He is Jamal Mosley. Congratulations, Coach. It's great to have you here. Welcome aboard.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, let us know. I guess we're going to take this opportunity for everyone to get to know you, but we'd love to hear from you and kind of get your emotions, your thoughts, as you try to reflect back on what the last couple of weeks have been like and put it into words what it means to be a head coach.
It's amazing. It's so exciting just to be able to, you know, talk about your dreams coming true and the things you've started out doing and working towards. You see it's come to fruition. It's been a whirlwind, but the great part about it is, you know, you can just keep going day to day. And that's what it's been for me. Just figure out each day, figure out how to just work each piece of it and then go from there. But it's been fantastic. The organization's been fantastic. Just walking in, it's been great.
The best first impression he got so far is probably me.
So really? He tends to do that.
I sent Coach a text. Hey, Jamal, congratulations. You know, look forward to meeting you tomorrow. I'll see you then. And I hit send, and I've written his name 30, 40 times because I wrote the damn press release. Jamahl.
There you go.
I got it, and I hit send, and I blame Apple, and it said Jamal. Yes. And I followed it immediately up, and I went, damn, rough start. That's a rough start.
Exactly.
Yeah,
right.
Always attention to detail here.
Big time. Big time. I can tell.
But that probably happens quite a bit, doesn't it?
All the time. Yeah. All the time. Between my first and my last name, it's going to get messed up.
That was the one I was surprised because Joel is like, well, make sure his last name. I go, well, it's Mosley. How could they misspell that?
Well, you know, what's weird is that, you know, people my nickname, people call me Mose. So it's Mose. but my name is spelled Mosley.
Sure.
And so it throws people off a little bit, but I'm, you know, I get used to it after a while.
Well, so, I won't do that mistake ever again.
That's no, you
never,
probably will, but it's okay.
No, I never will.
It's
never.
Okay.
But spell check may get you, but you'll never.
I'll get spell check. Spell check's not going to get the best of me.
Well, give us a little background. I know you're from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, mm-hmm. right? I've never seen you at a Packer game like the Bakhtiaris and chugging beer at Bucks games.
No,
all that
you probably won't see that.
But you have a history in Wisconsin. Just kind of get into your background a little bit, and ultimately what got you into the love of basketball.
Born and raised in Milwaukee, as we said, and then I moved to California, actually, at the age of basically 13. Mm-hmm. Started playing basketball then for, you know, high school in northern San Diego, called Rancho Buena Vista. Played for a great high school coach who started teaching me those fundamentals of the game defensively, offensively, you know, certain system. We actually ran the triangle in high school, so that was interesting. Wow. So I then became, you know, a Bulls fan for a moment, but can't do it too far being from Milwaukee.
Sure.
From there, got a scholarship, went to play at the University of Colorado. With Ricardo Patton, which was a great experience. Got recruited at the time, which is funny, Buffalo's in the league now, you know, by Chauncey. And as I commit to Colorado, I give him a hard time to this day, he actually left. So he was my recruit bringing me in, and as I signed and go, he leaves.
Come on, is that right?
Well, I would have left too. He was the third pick in the draft. I mean, why would you stay? It's either Jamal Mosley's coming into town, or I can go to be the third pick in the draft. I'd take going to be the third pick in the draft.
That's great. You guys both get a chance at the same time, which
yes,
is kind of cool.
It's a great thing. We got the Buffalo Nation, you know, going. So it's been great. And then from Colorado, I ended up going to play overseas. So I played 2 years in Australia, 1 year in Spain, and then 1 year in Korea, and then I bounced around a little bit after that. And from there, it just was a little bit of a different part of the journey, because my mother passed away in 2004. And when she passed, I think that was really a wake-up call for me to understand being more around my family, close to home. Because the journey overseas was more about, you know, getting away, experiencing the world, seeing different cultures, and I got to do that. But, you know, when she passed, it kind of said, come home. And when I came home, it was, I had a couple options because I didn't know what I wanted to do. A friend of mine called me, said, come back to Colorado and live with us, see what's going on. And then, lo and behold, being from Milwaukee, George Karl was in Milwaukee. At the time that I, you know, grew up there, and he had coached there, and so we had mutual friends, and one of those mutual friends ended up being, you know, John Welch and Tim Gergerich, and they brought me in and said, hey, you want to just come in and work guys out while you're trying to figure out what you're doing, and help working guys out means be my practice dummy, get beat up, play one-on-one against Carmelo, play one-on-one against Kenyon, Nene, Earl Boykins, the whole crew.
How about that? Now, you had just played.
I had just played, so I was okay.
Yeah, sure,
I was decent for a while. Right. And then from there, it was just it just turned into being an unpaid intern to growing into a little bit of video room, a little bit of advanced scouting. And then it just doing scout reports, getting on the floor, not just being on the floor, but getting in the locker room, doing the board. And then from there, got recognized by Cleveland, who Chris Grant got the job there. And he hired Byron, and I interviewed with Byron, and he was fantastic. Just his energy, his level of professionalism, it just old school, just the way he saw the game, but the way he was just, he helped build me up in a lot of ways. And then when they moved on from Byron, Mike Brown came in. He was actually someone that I looked up to because my mentor, Tim Gergerich, had mentored him. And so it was kind of somebody to look at to emulate on how you can be as a head coach. And it was great. And so he stayed on and taught me a ton. And then from there, Rick saw me at Gerg's camp, recognized that it was something that could work out. We got together, and I was with him for the last 7 years.
Jamal, you know what?
Sorry, I was a little long. I apologize.
So I wanted to follow
or
up.
You and less us.
Yeah,
that's the key to all
Okay.
That's what makes it work.
So, you know, if David Steele was here, he would have already known a lot of that, and he would have asked background information, because that's what he does. Since David Steele's not here, though, I am the senior as an age representative. So I just want to just kind of take you back a little bit, and not for you, but so in the early 90s, right? George Karl is coaching the Seattle Supersonics, gets the job there, right? And so back when I played, there really weren't, like, coaches really didn't go out on the floor with guys, right, when you worked before the game. You just kind of went out, and the ball boys would throw you balls, and you'd shoot, and you'd get ready for the game. Or you might play one-on-one or shooting games or something like that. Well, so we're in Seattle, and I look down at the other end of the floor, and there's this coach out there. I think he's a coach. He looks more like my economics professor in college, right?
That's Gerg.
It's Tim Gergerich.
Yes.
Okay. Who has, for, you know, people will tell you, he goes by different names, the Yoda of player development, yes, and things, yes, like that. So I think about you getting to Denver and Gergerich being there, and then John Welch, who many people around the league are just, you know, players talk about John Welch and his work ethic, yes, with the players and everything. For you to end up there, to start your coaching, mm-hmm, not just with George Karl, but with those two guys, how important was that for you, Jamal?
Oh, there's no words that describe it. I just really, like, I just was a sponge as much as I possibly could be. And the great part about those guys was the one thing they taught me, other than the development and growth of these guys, it was like just being selfless. They just wanted to pour back into helping me grow. They just wanted to, how do I get better? How can we develop this young man in order to be whatever he wants to be when it comes to the coaching ranks? And it was always about the players. It was always about how do we get them better? And that's the biggest thing I took from that. And also just being able to shut up and just coach. Don't say a word. Sit here, be a sponge, and do what you need to do. That was the big, like Gerg has always said, just kid, shut up, get on the floor, work, and don't mess it up.
That's great advice. That's a great research there. So you remember that. You remember that.
Yeah, well, you know, Gergerich being out there.
It's unbelievable.
So
yeah.
I started, you know, down the rabbit hole, as David Steele calls it, and start looking, and you know, so these names start coming back and everything. And I've always been a fan of Gerg's, just watching him as he moves around the league and reading about him. But really getting to, you know, kind of read about John a little bit. And you know, I watched a video that the National Association of Basketball Coaches had done on you, and you talked about those guys. Mm-hmm. All right, so I got to ask you about George Karl.
Yes.
Right, okay. So, George, now this is interesting because I saw a tweet from George. George is 70 years
old. Hold on, George tweets?
Yeah. Oh, no, he's on.
George,
oh,
he's really? A big-time tweeter,
yes,
right? And I was surprised. So, he obviously very excited for you. So this is an interesting thing. He used the term that, and he described you as an old school coach using new school techniques, I think. So that's interesting to me. So what does Coach Karl mean by that?
Well, old school coach, I mean, it can mean a lot of things. People taught different ways back then. You know, it was like, do it this way and this is how it gets done. But as he evolved and he formed, I just learned from those things, the fundamentals of the game, doing it the right way, playing the right way, like those things. And everybody says it, but old school is a little bit different. It was a little bit more rigid. And you can still have that level of discipline and detail, but I think the players now learn a little bit differently. And now it's more about the relationships. You can still demand the same things, but I think it's the relationships that you have with these guys in order to demand the things that are quote unquote old school. That's the importance of it, having the relationship with these guys to let them know you care about them and them getting better, and it not being about, oh, we have to do it this way because I said so. I think that's so important.
Do you have a secret when it comes to that, though, Jamal? Because, I mean, I saw on social media, and I was just joking, I knew that George Karl tweets, but so many players, past, present, you know, when the announcement came about, is that good or is that going to kill you?
Oh, no, you're good.
Okay.
Yeah.
The announcement came when you got the job, and you just, I mean, so many tweets from all kinds of players, past, present.
Right,
like,
right.
What does that mean to see all of that? All of those guys that have your back, that you've had their back all this time?
You know, honestly, you don't think about it.
Yeah.
You don't think about that impact at the time because it's not about me. And that's the biggest thing. So when people are reaching out and they're saying all these things, I got all the congratulation texts, but I'm not on social media. So that's probably why, you know, but how do I describe it? I'm humbled because it's why you do it. You do it for them feeling better. You do it for them getting better. You do it for them, you know, reaching their max potential. And that's all that matters, you know, for me. So you just, you're grateful that you made an impact. And it's, again, it goes back to Gerg, how he taught me. Just, it's about them. How do you get them better? How do you help them reach their best self?
And how do you do that, Coach? Is there a trick to it? Do you have to, obviously you're working with these young guys and you're trying to show them something on a daily basis, but is it when you see something click out there on the floor that they realize, okay, this guy taught me this or this? Like, how do you make that connection and build that trust?
Honestly, and this is, it's, to me, it's not a lot of rocket science. I think what it is you do have to really care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think no, it's human. It's the human being. And people get it so caught up in that it's about basketball. It's about the X's and O's. It's about wins and losses. Yes, we are in the business of wins and losses. But these are young men that have families, that have moms and dads and sisters and brothers, and they have real lives just like all of us. And when you can make that a level of importance, then that's when that's where the relationship begins.
Outstanding. It's refreshing too. I got to know, you're trying to figure out what you want to do. You're there in Denver. You've got Carmelo Anthony, Allen Iverson, right? I think you get reunited with Billups ultimately, right? Was
yes.
he there for a little
yes.
bit?
Yes, yes.
How was that, learning the NBA with that mix of guys? That had to have been fun.
That was a fun group. Because you know what? As people used to say, they played hard, they played aggressive. We were tough. We were just, you know, physical. And there was a crew. You know, there was Birdman there. There was Nene there. We had a different group of young men that had their own personalities. But what the one thing they had in common when they walked on that court, it was about winning and pulling for each other. You know, we had JR, we had Dante Jones, we had Iverson, we had Birdman, we had Nene.
That's a good mix. Yeah.
And so with that group of guys,
it was
just a great group of guys. They band together and they went out to win games. And that's, you know, I admire George in so many ways for how he just allowed it to be. And sometimes you just have to get out of the way. And a lot of times he got out of the way, but he also knew who he put in place to help get those guys in the right position. So he was just the way he orchestrated was great.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
You know, it's interesting. You learned, you said you, when you were playing in high school out to San Diego, you start learning the defensive principles. Along your NBA career path, you seem to have made quite a name for yourself on the defensive side of the floor. Obviously, you understand the offensive side mm-hmm. as well. But what is it with the defensive side of the, what are some of your philosophies? What are some of the things that you like, your strategy, your schemes on the defensive end? And then we'll look at the offensive end as well.
Defensive side of the floor, I think that's where old school comes in. I think there's principles, there's concepts that you have to have. I think it starts off with just being in a defensive stance. But for us, you know, moving forward here, it's going to be about being tough. It's about communicating and being talkative. I want to be the highest level communicating team in the league. And then you move into that from, you know, just tied together, five guys on a string moving as one, because the NBA, as you know, has moved more to where offensively you're putting up points, but defensively you want to be able to sustain, you know, the level of their star power. You got to stop the stars in a lot of ways, and the way you do that is as a unit. And I think being disruptive, taking teams out of their sets, is a way that you can do that.
Doesn't mean clothesline of people like your Nets team.
Well, you know what's funny was when I hear George Karl say old school, my first thought is tough defense, right? That's when you say when he's an old school coach, mm-hmm. I think a lot of people would say, well, he's a defensive coach, mm-hmm. probably. And then when you start talking about these new school techniques or whatever, I think one of the things that you hear is player's coach, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's a player's coach. I think you put it, as long as when you care about players and you communicate mm-hmm. with them and you want them to be your best, you're a player's coach,
right?
No matter if you're a defensive guy or an offensive guy.
I think a lot of times you get pigeonholed, you know, because if you hold the defense or you run the defense, or, oh, he's a defensive coach, or he's got great relationship, he's a player's coach, or, you know, I think it all goes together because that's part of coaching. Yeah. Like, you have to be able to and willing to adjust to your team. And I think that's coaching in a sense.
What excites you, Jamal? Now you're here in Orlando. What excites you about the Magic roster that you're about to take charge of?
You know, you have great character guys and working guys and guys that just love to be in the gym, and a youthful group. That's so, it's kind of like me starting out as the unpaid intern in Denver. It starts out like you don't know what to expect. And so with this group, you know, I want to be able to give them some things that they can expect, but lay the foundation for how we can be really, really, really good. That's the joy of this group. And it's, like I said, a great group of guys that want to work.
That's a great way to look at it. You've got seven guys on this roster that are 23 or younger. Yeah. You're about to add two more, maybe three, right? You have 10 guys mm-hmm. that are under the age of 23. But even just knowing you from this little bit here and your background, you're not afraid of that. You embrace that, because it seems like if you're a coach, it's a great opportunity to kind of help mold these guys on their journey.
That's exactly right. I think you can help these guys be better. It's about how can they be the best individuals, yet how can they be the best individuals for growing this team? And then what does their NBA journey look like walking in? What do they see themselves in 5 years? And when you can start with that in mind, you know, you can help them grow and develop so they can see what an end product can possibly look like.
You know, it's interesting when you look at these offenses today, and we're seeing it in the finals, and mm-hmm. you're seeing all the points per possession and all these per 100 possessions. Where offensively, obviously it's a 3-point shot, and mm-hmm. that's where we're going, and some teams play inside out, some don't. But what do you see? What is going to be your staple on the offensive end? What would you like to see?
Pace, mm-hmm. space, and passing. Because if you have that, you can add a lot of dimensions to what your roster is. And I'm not going to sit here and say it's going to be this way.
Yeah, right.
But we have different guys on the team, and I want to find out what they feel their level of success is, how they feel they fit in any system, where they can be utilized more, because I want them to reach their highest level of potential. So, but it's going to come back to the pass is so important, moving the basketball, because now you can create in different scenarios how we drive to the rim, get fouls, shoot the open threes, and just make each other better. I think that's huge.
And it's interesting, as I sit here and I listen to you and everything, and it's a huge responsibility that you've worked for so long to get to this point. But what's interesting is you don't do this all by yourself, right? Like, when you take this job as the head coach of the Orlando Magic, now you've got to build a staff. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you've given much thought about that. I think if it was me, take a job, I would begin that process right away. I don't want any specifics. Don't want any names. Wouldn't put you on the spot like that. But
no, you want names. Well, that's what the Pod Squad is all about, breaking news.
That's
right.
I think he's just getting to know us.
You're right.
We like having you back as a guest.
You're probably
again.
Right.
I don't want to burn anything
point.
Here. So,
great point.
Like, oh, so, Jamal, what would your – as you begin to put that process, I know you've thought about this. What kind of attributes are you looking for in a staff?
Teachers. I think that's the biggest thing, because you talk about this roster and you're going to need people that know how to teach and what they're teaching. You need development guys that can help these guys get better. You need energy and enthusiasm. And for me, it's about the positive side of it. How do they teach from a positive standpoint? Do they lift these guys up? Because these guys are going to need to be lifted up in certain moments, because it's their first run at this NBA thing, and it can get you sometimes. So you need people that can encourage. And then just workers, guys that just are in love with the gym and getting guys better. I think that's the key, and staying at it relentlessly and just finding a way to get guys better.
Can you give us some insight into what that process is like? Like that, the coaching staff, you've been on three different staffs now, just how much time you guys put in together, mm-hmm. what goes into it, and how nice it moves when you're all on the same wavelength.
Oh, it's beautiful when you're all on the same wavelength, because you understand the goal, the mission of what you're trying to accomplish. And then the biggest thing is that it goes back to my days in Denver, where you talk about, it's about my first start, I should say, is that I just learned it was about the players and how do we get them better. And then it was about lifting the head coach up so that message can be relayed from top down, you know. And I think that's what it does look like. I don't know if it's dinners on the road and, you know, drinking wine together or whatever that looks like, but
yes.
that you just have something.
Yes.
Okay, fair.
Yes, definitely involves that.
But it's about just, you know, coming together, because I've really learned that the players see us first, you know. Like the great part about this organization, what I've seen from the DeVos family is that family, mm-hmm. and then it trickles down to the next people, family. And then so now when they look at our coaching staff, are they going to say family? And now you walk into the players, family. Like you can see it from top down, because everybody uses the tag, hashtag word, culture, family.
Right,
but then
right.
you see up and like it's you're like, hold on, you haven't talked to him in like 3 days. Or, and it, but this is really what it is. And that's why I think it is what the importance of how you build your staff.
How about your family, Jamal? I mean, are they excited to make the move? And Disney
yes.
right down the road, is that a selling point?
That was the selling
nice.
Point. When my daughter and my middle son found out that we were moving, it was tears and do we have to go? And they have friends. And
sure.
But the next thing we went to was, well, you'll get to go to Disney World. And from there, it was, you know, that was a selling point. That was a selling point. But they're excited. My wife does a phenomenal job of making sure that we're sane, that she's the biggest support. You know, she's just she's the rock of the family. And so I have three of them, 7, 6, and 4. And it's constant. And she's doing it.
I've got my hands full with 7 and 6. That's what I've got. I've got 2 at 7.
Oh,
and 6.
That's beautiful.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Which is fantastic. And but that third one, that changes things.
That's a game changer right there. That is a game. That is. And so now I look at my little one, and you start to think about all the youngest ones, and all, you know, as they get older, they start to, oh, you were so easy on him. You were so easy as you get older. Gotcha. And I'm just thinking to myself, yeah, my little one's probably going to be saying that when he gets older too. And the middle one will say the same thing.
It never stops.
See, my kids are grown, but I always advise people when they ask me, that third child, it's like, it's going from man to man to zone.
Without
yeah, right?
a
really
doubt. You are.
A lot of holes in a zone defense.
You are absolutely right. You got to pick your poison with that one. You got to figure out what you.
I have the lowest ranking defense in the yes, my three have us running. Constantly.
I've seen it in action.
Yeah.
Yes,
sometimes we lose one.
You're in a run and jump right now.
Yes.
You're in a run and
absolutely.
Jump defense.
Box and one.
Figure it out.
Oh, well, we've seen videos of you playing overseas mm-hmm. in Australia and you are a fiery competitor on the floor. Do you have that same fire on the sidelines? Do you harness it? What's your demeanor going to be there on the sidelines?
I'm gonna balance it. Because okay. that fire, there was real fire there. I played with a ton of passion and energy. Yep. But, you know, I also realized that with a young team, you also have to be the calming voice. Mm-hmm. Because the game, once you walk in the league, is sped up quite a bit. And they have to learn to watch it slow down. So if I'm on the sideline going crazy, how does that help them? And that's my goal and my job, is to help them, you know, help the game slow down for them. And so I'm probably a little bit of a balance. When I need to go, I'll go. But the passion is definitely there. That I don't think that's going to – that fire burns.
I think – can we agree that we all would like to see the double pop collar?
Right?
Somebody – come on, I mean, that someone was, sent that.
I
and I'm just like –
I've never seen that before. And then when, you know, social media was coming – and I think it was the NBL sent that tweet out that congratulating
right.
you
that
and had a nice highlight package. And it was a lot of double popping collars, but that, both, not just one. You didn't go with one.
Yeah, went both. That was, I think that was a thing then. If I'm not mistaken.
Can we pop both lapels after the first win or something? Can we get one of those?
Have we been going back to that? No, there's so many.
Oh, it's so great.
I don't know if I could pull that off.
Are we going
back to certain time for the coaches and everything like that?
I don't even know if I'm allowed to comment on that. I'm going to go ahead and say a lot of coaches, I think, were probably pretty comfortable.
Yeah.
In
a lot
what
of PR
we were.
Guys were comfortable yeah, right. in the right. jumpsuits too. I'm not gonna
like,
lie.
Kind of like that too. Didn't
I tried
you?
To get that approved at home, and it got shot down. I don't think that's
gonna work for the broadcast
no,
team.
No.
So I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, my David Steele probably want to know this, and I'm curious. Are you a pacer on the sideline? Do you think you'll be a up and down the sideline? I'm just thinking about sight lines for me. I'm just
that's
so
really
you tell me where you need to find me, where you want me
no,
to
no,
be.
Just, like,
he wants you out of his. He wants you out of his way.
Oh well, I'll do whatever I got to get out of your way. If you need me to sit down more, I will sit down more. If you want me to stand closer to like the sideline,
they will adjust.
You know, I will say this. The worst for me ever was Doc Rivers because for whatever reason, you know, Doc and I are friends, but he used to like to put his hands on his head, and it would widen the jacket out.
Couldn't see it.
And you really, it was like a wall and everything. So as long as you're moving, I can dodge and go around.
I think you should just sit right on top of the table.
As he was talking, I was thinking about that. I was thinking about just sitting
like
at the scorer's table right there,
like
and just without a doubt, I think I could do that.
Sorry, JT.
That's all right. I think follow on Harper and Dallas. They just moved off the floor so they could see.
So they could see.
Yeah,
I like to be down in the action. So as long
fair
as,
enough.
As long as Joel and George don't move me, I'm going to be right there with you. But here's what I don't want you to do. If there's a replay, please do not look. If you want to know,
don't
if
look
you
at you.
Don't look at me, please. I just don't like that pressure.
I'm probably going to do that. Now that I know you've said that, I'm going to go. If it's a travel call,
I'm going to look down at my notes as soon as you make eye contact with me because don't worry, George sits behind me and he'll yell, challenge!
Oh, he takes care of the officials for you.
You take care of the challenge?
You don't have to worry
sometimes,
about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah, he'll give you one of those.
Or I'll just yell at the official and then I'll look away like nobody.
Magic fans would love to. I know you haven't looked at a lot of these guys. I know you've studied to play against the Magic players, but I think Magic fans would love to know your thoughts maybe on some of the guys and as you get to know them, mm-hmm. you know, just kind of what you've seen from afar. We didn't have Markel and Jonathan Isaac for much mm-hmm. of last year, but maybe start there and just kind of what you see with some of the roster here, if you don't mind.
I mean, it was always a tough scout. You know, you look at Markel as he's, you know, getting back, but when scouting against him, it was just like you got to make sure you don't let him get to the rim because mm-hmm. His ability to attack and get in the paint was just, you know, phenomenal. And then as he started stepping in and knocking the shot down, you had to respect things a little bit more. So that actually, you know, you just watch his growth and his, you know, his journey has been fantastic, you know, just to see what he's done. And then Jonathan has just turned into, you know, this leveling up each time, leveling up, getting better and better and better. So he was a hard cover for us, and the matchup was always tough. You talk about RJ, who just athleticism and his ability to score and put the ball in the hole in different ways and different levels. He's an open court player, so you knew when he had it, and you had to get back in transition because it was a go. Along the same lines with Cole. You know, Cole was fiery, intense, and getting after it. And so you knew that we actually, you know, tried to throw a trap at him a couple times because, you know, you wanted to get the ball out of his hands because he was going to give you a problem. And then you look at, you know, Chuma. He was – I don't know that he played against us. I think he went down. So I think he – I don't know if he played against us. But
Mo,
just,
did you see Mo? Did Mo – I know Mo missed a lot
Mo
of time.
Mo missed a lot of games. I'm trying to think of Mo. Mo – played a little bit in the second half of our game, but I just knowing him and you know having the scouting report on him and what you know his capabilities, it was just that you know, his length is a problem. When he's around that rim, he finishes, he can finish well. And then the fact that he can step out and knock a shot down, you know, it puts the pressure on if you have a traditional five that's not agile and can move. So it was a tough scouting report from that side of it, just being able to understand how each one of these guys plays.
It's a great breakdown. Are you excited about being in the war room in this capacity?
Without a doubt.
You've never done it in this role, right?
I've never done it in this role, which is exciting. But again, that's why Jeff, John, Matt, AP, Anthony Parker, that's why they're great at what they do, and the scouts are fantastic at what they do. I'm going to sit back and just be able to be a fly on the wall, listen, and trust their level of expertise, because that's why they do what they do.
Let us know what that room's like, because we can't get anywhere near that. We've not been asked for anything over the last.
Fair enough.
This is actually right outside. Do not let them in.
They don't want you guys in there.
No, I can go in there from time to time. Okay. They can't.
We offer no value.
I probably can't go in there.
What impressed you about Jeff and John then through this whole process and meeting with them and the DeVos family? I know you mentioned a little bit the organization, but what impressed you about knowing that would be a good fit for you?
Exactly what you just said. The DeVos family and how it's basically trickled down to them and their level of communication and transparency of exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it, but knowing that it's being built together. And when you can see that and know that, it just makes things transition easier. And so Jeff and John, which Jeff I knew for a bit passing, you know, through in Denver and being there for a year together. And then John, just because everyone talks about, you know, the old school and the way of doing things, he just, you know, straight shoots it to you straight. It's a perfect balance. If that's the best way to describe it.
Well, that's great. Well, I know it's going to be a little bit drinking out of a fire hose for the next couple of months, but you're ready for that, right? I mean, that's kind of, I guess the last thing is just share with everyone your excitement for this challenge, this year, the coming years, and finally getting this well-deserved opportunity.
I'm so excited. I mean, words don't describe it. It really doesn't. And as I'm sitting here, it's actually super surreal. Because you always envision yourself in this spot, and you think you know what it's going to be like, but you don't. You have no idea. But I'm so excited for the opportunity to continue to learn, the opportunity to continue to grow. And I'll take it back to those intern days. It's similar. You don't know what you don't know, but you can just build off of the things that is what you're based on, and that's relationships. Yep. Developing people, making people better, and allowing the people that are great at what they do that.
Fantastic. Well, I love that, and I'm sorry, because I know your vision didn't involve the three of us.
Yeah, they did not put that in the presentation.
And we're going to need to make sure that always gets left out of every presentation from here on forth.
That's right. We're happy to be a part of it, and we're happy to have you here, Coach.
Thank you guys for having me. Look forward to getting started,
okay? Best of
luck. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right. That'll do it for this edition of Magic Pod Squad.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. LegalShield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.